day. This is Dr. Mary Ann DiIorio, novelist and life coach, welcoming you to another episode of the Winning with the Word podcast. Today is Saturday, April 6, 2024, and this is episode number 8 in season 2024. This episode is titled, Is the Bible True? Today, I am delighted to welcome back my awesome husband of 54 years, Dr. Dominic DiIorio, for his third and last episode in our series on the end times. If you haven't listened to my first two interviews with Dr. Dom, the first one on the rapture and the second one on the upcoming April 8th eclipse, I encourage you to do so. You will find the links in the show notes below. So, welcome back, honey. It's great to have you on the podcast again. I might have to make you a regular.
I would like nothing better than to be a regular. It's wonderful to be back, and I look forward to discussing our topic with you today.
We have had such good listener feedback from our previous two broadcasts, and I know that today's conversation will give you even more very important information to help you understand and prepare for what lies ahead in the world. And yes, we know a lot about what lies ahead. Why? Because God has revealed it to us in the Bible. But the problem is that most people don't read the Bible, and most people don't believe it is true. So let's begin our discussion with Dr. Dom with the most obvious question. Is the Bible true?
That's an interesting question, and the way I like to answer it is this. First of all, there's only one truth. The Bible is either true or it's not true. I've heard people say, well, that could be true for you, but it's not for me. That's an absolutely illogical statement. It's either true or it's not true. You can choose to believe it or not believe it, but that doesn't affect the truth of the Bible.
That's excellent, because truth is unchangeable, right? And we think that we're the arbiter of truth, but we are not. So, Dr. Dom, why do you believe the Bible?
Well, I choose to believe truth, and I trust the Bible is true. Everybody has trust. They put their trust in the belief, or they put their trust in the unbelief. Not believing the Bible leaves a lot of questions, because the Bible tells us a lot. First of all, it tells us about God. It tells us about the creation. And I've heard people talk about, well, the world really wasn't created. It just exploded in the Big Bang, and everything is just going along naturally. Well, my question to them is, where did this stuff come from that was in the Big Bang? It had to come from someplace. Somewhere there had to be a cause for the explosion to occur. And if it is an explosion, then the cause, I believe, is God. God put the stuff in the Big Bang. I question the Big Bang theory. But if that's what you want to believe, you have to admit someone put it there.
That's exactly right. And you know, I respect you as a man of science. So you have scientific facts on which to draw your conclusions. And one of the questions people ask about the Bible, is it truly God speaking in the Bible? There were so many different people who wrote different portions of the Bible. How can we know it's God speaking in the Bible?
Well, let me make another statement first about the belief portion, and then I'll answer that. But the Bible was written over a period of over 1,500 years. It was written by 40 different authors who lived many, many years apart from each other. They did not know each other. And back in those days, there was no way they could have known about each other than through word of mouth. And yet all their writings do not contradict each other. They are all in sync, even though they were written in multiple different languages, using different metaphors, using different idioms. You know, the Bible has to be taken literally. when you read the Bible, the first interpretation of the Bible is the literal interpretation. Now, you'll come across some statements that are metaphorical. Let me give you an example. Today, when it's raining outside, if it's a very heavy rain with a strong downpour, you may talk to somebody and say, "It's really raining cats and dogs out there." Well, I looked out the window and I've not seen one cat or one dog fall to the ground from the sky. We all know that's a metaphor for heavy rain. Well, when you read the Bible, there are metaphors in the Bible also. The most obvious one is when Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. Well, we know he's not a lamb. We know he's not a woolly creature that lives in the zoo. But the Lamb of God refers to the animal, the lamb, that is sacrificed at Passover, and it always is sacrificed without breaking any bones. And we know that when Christ was crucified on the cross, the usual course of events was to hasten to death. The soldiers would go around and break their legs so that they would die quickly. When they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. So there was no broken bones, no need to break his bones. So the Bible has to be taken literally, but there are metaphors. Now you ask if it's inspired. Well, we're told by several scriptures that it's inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 said, "Prophecy came not by the will of man. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So we know that the words, not just the ideas, but the words themselves were inspired by God to holy men to write in the Bible.
You know, I think of the Bible as God's manual for man. Just as we get a car manual when we buy a new car or a washing machine manual when we buy a washer, we get a manual when we are born, and that manual is the Bible. But like most manuals, how many of us read it? You know, I think of a situation years ago when we had bought a new washer, and I went to turn it on, and it didn't work. So instead of reading the manual, I called the repairman, and he came over, and he took one look and he said, "Your washer is not plugged in." Well, I was so embarrassed. But, you know, it taught me a great lesson. Had I read the manual, I would have read, first of all, make sure your machine is plugged into the wall. Well, it's the same with the Bible. When do we read it, if we read it at all? When we have a serious problem. But if we read it before then, we could have avoided that serious problem. So I'd like to ask you now, Dr. Dom, is the Bible relevant today? You know, so many people say, "Oh, that's an ancient book. It's archaic. What does it have to do with us today?" What are your thoughts?
Well, when you read the Bible and you see the prophecies in the Bible, over 1,800 of them, possibly about 50 to 60% have already been fulfilled, and they've been fulfilled precisely. Well, you have to ask, so what does that mean? That means that the Bible is true. And when you read the Bible, you'll see the relevance for today. The most important relevance is because the Bible is true, God talks in the Bible about his plan for salvation and our need for redemption. And when you know the scriptures that say Micah, for instance, that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, and he was born in Bethlehem, you know the scripture, Isaiah 7:14, that he'll be born of a virgin. You know he was born of a virgin. Well, then you also have to know that when he says you need salvation, you need salvation, and you better believe it. Now, you could choose to not believe it, but the results of that choice will be horrendous. So I believe the Bible is relevant for today. It talks about our need for salvation. It talks about our need for redemption. And in fact, if you read Proverbs, the book of Proverbs talks about the purpose of Proverbs is to give wisdom and understanding and instructions for us for almost our daily living. So the book of Proverbs is specifically relevant for today, and I think the entire Bible is relevant for today.
I love the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters, so that makes it easy to read one chapter a day. And as you said, that book does contain wisdom and direction for our daily lives. And we hurt ourselves when we don't read the Bible, because God has laid it all out there, how to live a successful life, which is a life of love, peace, and joy. So another question, Dr. Dom, does the Bible contain errors or contradictions?
I believe the Bible does not contain errors, nor does it contain contradictions. I will admit, however, that sometimes there are some passages in the Bible that are difficult to read and maybe difficult to understand. But when you study them carefully and you study what has happened over the years, and you look at the findings of scientists and archaeologists, and you just give a good in-depth study, there's a reason for everything in the Bible, and I do not believe there's any contradiction. We may not understand some things, but because our understanding is limited, that does not put the Bible in error.
You know, another thing is that the Bible interprets itself. There are parts of the Bible that interpret other parts, so we really don't need anything outside the Bible to understand the Bible. I'd like to return to your comment about the Bible's relevance for today. You know, the Bible predicts different things that would be happening in the end times, like earthquakes. Well, we had a 4.8 earthquake here in New Jersey yesterday. And the Bible says that as the time approaches for the return of Christ, we will see an increase in earthquakes and famines and wars. Surely we've had them for all the extent of history, but today things are different. We're seeing more earthquakes of greater intensity. What are your thoughts on the relevance of the Bible regarding what's happening today?
Well, the Bible strictly says that in the end times there will be wars and rumors of wars. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper and look and see what's happening. For the past 6 months, there's been a war in Israel. There have been threats of wars from the Iranians to wipe Israel off. There have been threats of wars for China to take over Taiwan. There's a war between Russia and Ukraine. There have been threats of wars between Russia and the United States. There have been increasing in earthquakes. The Geological Survey says there's been a significant increase in the number of earthquakes. We're talking about more pestilence. They're talking about another epidemic that's scheduled to come within the next year. I like the word scheduled to come. I'd like to know who makes up the schedule, but that's beside the point. That's a whole different topic of conversation. To talk about famines, look at the price of food. Even today in this country, people have to choose between putting food on the table or putting gas in their car. There's an increase in famines. The food lines have been significant. So I think the Bible is very relevant for today, and I think we're looking at it. I just tell you, keep your eyes on Israel, and I'm hearing rumors of what may be going on in Damascus and Syria in the very near future. And Isaiah 17 talks about that. It talks about Damascus being destroyed. So I would just keep your eyes on what's going on, and you realize that the Bible is really very relevant for today.
Yes, I totally agree. And you know, Israel is the timepiece of all history, and we do need to keep an eye on Israel. The Bible tells us many, many things about what we're going through. And as I talk with people, even unbelievers sense that something is different, that something is astir in the earth. And that something is that Jesus Christ is soon to return. But he will return to remove from the earth only those who truly follow him. If you do not yet know Jesus, You will be left behind, and you will have to endure the horrors of the Great Tribulation under the dictatorship of the Antichrist. You don't want that to happen to you. And worst of all, if you don't accept Christ, you will spend eternity separated from him in hell. You see, we are made of spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is who we really are. And when we are born into this world physically, our spirit is disconnected from God. It was disconnected when Adam and Eve sinned and the entire human race fell. And they passed on to us only what they could give us, which is corruption of the spirit. So I urge you today that if you want to be reconnected with God through Jesus Christ, that is the only way, through Jesus Christ. Contrary to popular opinion, there is only one way to be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. He himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I urge you to do so now. Pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I repent of my sins, and I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me and for setting me free. In your name I pray. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again child of God. Welcome to the family. Write down today's date, for it is the date of your spiritual birthday, and write to me at drmarianne@mariannediorio.com. I would like to send you a free PDF booklet titled After You're Born Again to help you get started in your exciting walk with Jesus. Before we close, don't forget to check out my book titled The Iron Saint. Based on the concepts of the Ironman Triathlon, The Iron Saint is a manual for preparing for the difficult challenges of these last days. It is available in both print and ebook formats on my website bookstore at marianndiorio.com or on Amazon. Get your copy now and give one to your pastor as well. I want to thank God that Winning with the Word now reaches listeners in 80 countries around the world. If you are listening to this podcast from a country outside the United States, please let me know by writing to me at drmarianne@mariannediorio.com. Remember that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.